Thanks for being along. I'm Jerry Agar. Howard Levitt is here. He was on the panel. He's the host of the Employment Law Show, Sundays at 1 on News Talk 1010. But we're going to talk a little bit about Howard's excellent adventure as he went to Japan, but mostly just to talk about cultural differences, because you went on a kind of a high-end trip, and that aspect of it is not going to really impact the average listener. Well, they may never go to Japan anyway, but I'm just interested in...
It was a restaurant trip. A high-end restaurant trip.
Right, right. But if you were to do a high-end restaurant trip in Canada or the United States, and you did research and you found one would find, what are the top X number of restaurants in Canada and the United States? And then you just figure out how difficult it is to get a reservation. But when a reservation's available, you can get in. And anybody can go, provided that, you know, by the end of the day, you're going to pay the bill.
Correct.
That's apparently not the case in Japan.
I mean, look, it's not easy. For example, Allo in Toronto, it is very hard. People have been trying for 2 years to get in if you don't know anybody, if you don't know the owner.
Seriously?
Yes. It's tough to get in.
Congratulations to the owners then.
Well, they've done an amazing job in all areas.
But what I'm saying is
But if you happen to get it at the right time, you'll get in.
Okay.
There's no limitation on your getting into Allo or anywhere else in Canada.
All right. However, that's not the case in Japan.
Yeah, absolutely, it's not the case in Japan. Understand, Jerry. These restaurants, we're talking with some of the best restaurants in the world, the best restaurants in Japan, so rated, and some aren't rated because raters can't get in. Michelin can't get in because there's six or eight seats, period. Two sittings a night, that's 12 or 16 people a night.
Wow.
5 days a week get to go to these restaurants. The waiting list is a year or more. That's one thing. But understand, you don't go on the internet to make a reservation. You phone up and make a reservation. And the chefs, from their standpoint, there's say three or four chefs for the six people, want to enjoy their evening chatting with the guests. And they want interesting guests. So the last thing they want is a couple of white guys or women who they can't even speak to coming to the restaurant and boring them for the evening because they can't talk a little bit of pidgin English and pidgin Japanese if we're lucky. They're not interested in us. They're interested in interesting Japanese people who they might even know of a little bit.
Well, so, and also, you don't know the culture. You could do something gauche.
Yes, that's right. And they have a choice. They have people who know, who are sophisticated, generally, who are going to these restaurants. So the way we were able to go, I went with a friend, Josh Josephson, who used to own the cookbook store here and is, a leading Canadian foodie, and he's gone on about 30 of these trips, and he cannot get in himself after 30 times at some of these restaurants. He cannot get in.
All right.
Because they don't. So the way we get in, or the way he got us in, he gets a local Japanese food critic. So that's someone with some schlep who makes a reservation a few months in advance.
What does schlep mean? Oh, I thought that meant carrying things, people.
Well, it has two meanings in Yiddish. One is carrying things, schlepping things around. The other is pull, drag.
So, I guess
they're both drag, right?
Gravitas.
Influence. Influence.
All right.
And she makes a reservation for three. And then the Japanese chefs are disappointed that two of the three are white people who can't speak Japanese and enjoy the evening with them.
But we encountered this actually because there was a story. It was actually a column, I guess, and we wanted you to comment on it. And Becky got a hold of you, and you were in Japan, and you were quite willing to do it. Until, as my understanding is, you were informed that you may not talk in the restaurant and on the phone. And secondly, you may not leave and go stand on the sidewalk and talk to us. We had to get Sneera Chaudhry to do it.
Correct. I could not leave, and there are all kinds of things I'm being told during the meal by our guide to make sure that we act appropriately, hold the chopsticks appropriately, eat the food appropriately, put the chopsticks down in the right place appropriately at the right times. I mean, I'm just giving some obvious examples. Yeah. But through the meal, we were constantly guided, and since he's gone many times, I was constantly guided, sometimes by Josh, sometimes by our guide, about how to behave and to comport yourself. So we're even less objectionable to them than we might be otherwise. So he has some friends, very wealthy guys from Toronto, and they're going to Japan, four guys, and they're hoping to go to some of the best restaurants, and he laughed. They don't have a chance. First of all, that's four of six seats. Yeah. Secondly, they're booked months and months in advance. Thirdly, if they manage to call and there are seats available, they would not agree to take them.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to spend time with them. And by the way, the chefs are chatting merrily and laughing, guffawing loudly through the whole meal with their guests. It is a party, essentially.
Okay. All right.
Not a raucous one, but a
Yeah.
Lots of bonhomie and good nature.
So what you're saying is, at the high-end restaurants in Japan, it's a party, but generally, white people aren't invited.
White people are never invited. You can't get in. And by the way, everybody says Sushi Sato is the best Japanese restaurant in the world, 3-star mission and all that. I went. It was one of the ones we went to. We went to 5 other restaurants that were better than it.
All right. But do you think, is it a racist thing?
No, I think they want to enjoy their evening, and the chefs want to enjoy their evening. Remember, uh-huh. That's effectively what you would characterize here as a sushi bar, even though the food wasn't necessarily sushi and generally wasn't. But they just want to enjoy their evening and talk through the evening about food and other things with their guests.
Do you think they can't
do that with us because we don't speak Japanese?
Sure. Now, if you were a white person who happened to grow up in Japan, a good friend of mine was born in Japan, lived there for many years, and he's white. If a white person grew up in Japan, kind of understood the culture because they grew up there, could speak the language fluently, they would not have the problem you had to overcome.
Given there's 12 or 16 people a night allowed into some of the top restaurants in the world, I think, again, they're selective about who they want. They want to know who you are, whether someone they find interesting, and if they found that person interesting, I think they would get in. Is the Japanese culture somewhat racist? People say, I don't know. So you may be right in inferring that maybe you'd still have a problem if you spoke fluent Japanese and were white, but I think if they found you interesting and knew about you, and it's probably friends who know friends, so the chefs know who they want in their restaurants, that's the criteria to get in.
Okay.
They want to spend an evening they enjoy.
Yeah. Do you think if the prime minister can't tell the difference between Japan and China, he wouldn't get in?
I think they would be very uninterested in having him.
Okay.
Generally.
Yeah. The point of the matter is that it's a very different culture.
It's a very different culture. And everybody takes their job so seriously in Japan. Whatever they're doing, jobs would be considered lowly here. There, they really put their energy and heart into it and have a lot of their sense of self in that job and how they do their job. So you see perfectionism on such a level that makes us look primitive in comparison in so many sectors.
I would only disagree with you in this regard. We have people in our culture that are like that, and they tend to be people who rise to the top. And sometimes are disliked by everyone else.
I hear you. A-types tend to be disliked by everyone else, except the people who help, who they sweep along with them and who appreciate them.
But it is a good thing to go and experience another culture, whether it operates the way you think it shouldn't or not, and maybe all the better if it doesn't.
I was very impressed with the Japanese culture, much more than I expected to be.
All right. Well, good
to
talk to you about it.
The sophistication of the people.
All right.
Really
Thanks very much.
Me. Thanks, Jerry.
See you next Friday.
You will.
And he'll be back with you Sunday at 1 o'clock for free employment advice on the radio for the Employment Law Show, Sunday at 1 o'clock.